We're going to move on to part five of God's plan for His church. We're in the Gospel of John right now, chapter 15. We're going to look at 15 through 18, verses 15 through... Okay. Sorry about that. We're going to be looking at 15, verses 18 through 16:4. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me, be there, and we're going to read this. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you? No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They have hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I sent to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. And you also must testify. For you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for your word. Father, open it up for us. As we hear it, as we receive it, as I preach it here this morning, Lord, let it just go into the hearts and the minds of each person here. Every word that is true, every word that is from you, Lord, may it, we just grab onto it and become one of us, part of us. Heavenly Father, I pray this day that your blessing would be what helps us to deal with what you have just said in this word. Lord, might we truly understand what it is that you're saying to us here this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God's plan for the church is that it's going to be in conflict. Not just conflict with anybody, but with literally the world. World War I, World War II, nothing. We're talking World War forever, eternity. World War eternity. The conflict is not this minor thing. It's a major. Excuse me, I don't know what is the deal with this thing this morning. The conflict between the church and the world, it's major. It's not minor. This isn't just a little tiff. It's not a misunderstanding. It's not something that's just going to blow over. Just give them a little time, you know, they'll get over it. Uh-uh. This is major. It's a basic philosophical principle identity issue. Hate is what characterizes this conflict. Now, hate's a pretty strong word. Some people get accused of using the word hate all the time. Now, when I was just in California, my first cousin, her son said, he said hate all the time. I hate this. I hate that. People who really don't even know him say, man, he uses the word hate an awful lot. Well, Jesus doesn't usually use the word hate. But in this passage, he used it 7 times. 7 times he uses the word hate. He tells us twice that they're going to be persecuted. He even brings up the fact that killing is going to be involved. They're going to kill you. Kill us. Okay. It sounds like a pretty major issue here. These are the words that Jesus used to tell us how the world feels about us, how it believes about us and acts about us and Him, about God and the gospel. Hate. Now, what is hate? I actually looked it up. A lot of times we think that we know what something is, but then we go, maybe it's a little bit different than what we thought. But hate is actually the opposite of love. It's an intense dislike and opposition. Literally, so if it's the opposite of love, what is love? Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. So that makes hate selfish, disloyal, malignant disregard for the well-being of another person. Chew on that one. Hate is selfish, disloyal, malignant disregard for the well-being of another. It's the very antithesis of love. And that's what Jesus is telling the disciples, telling us. This is the world's response to the church. It hates me because I love Jesus. It hates you because you love Jesus. It hates Jesus. It hates God. The world hates God. That is the world's response. It hates God the Father. It hates God the Son. That's Jesus. You know, verses 23 and 24, Jesus spells out. He said, he who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not gone among them, if I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and they have hated both me and the Father. Hate means conflict. If you hate somebody or something, you have a malignant disregard for them. You have no feelings for them. You're not selfless towards them, but you're selfish towards yourself. You're not loyal to them, you're disloyal. Yeah, whatever. I don't care what you say. There is no agreement between us. There can be no pact. There's hate. And this is what the world has, Jesus is saying, this is what the world has for Him and the Father. And also the Holy Spirit. We see the reaction to God's testimony. to the Holy Spirit is unbelief and to turn against. So they hate God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They hate Him. It also hates the world. The church hates us. I'm sorry, got that wrong. The world hates the church. That is, it hates us. It hates the disciples. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a disciple. The world hates you. You get that? Jesus is telling us right here, right now, the world hates you. Pastor, you're saying hate awful lot. Yeah, this is not the lovey-dovey feel-good sermon. Sorry. But guess what? God's Word isn't all lovey-dovey feel-good. In fact, an awful lot of it isn't. But God is telling us this, that it hates us so that we can expect conflict and persecution. See, following Jesus does not end your problems and your conflict with the world. It's really putting you into conflict with the world. It's entering into that conflict. If I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I have signed up to go to battle against the world. What the world teaches, what the world believes. What does the world believe and teach? Get even. Get your own. Get them before they get you. Do unto others before they do you. Isn't that what the world teaches? If it feels good, it must be good. That's the definition of good. If I like it, then it's good for me. Doesn't matter how it impacts anybody else. These are the lessons of the world. These are the antithesis, the absolute opposite of what God teaches, what God says, what Jesus is all about. We need to expect conflict and persecution. The world persecuted Jesus. Jesus, as he's saying these words, this is, remember where the time and place that these words were spoken that we read here this morning. This is during the Last Supper. This is literally hours before he's crucified. Before he's tortured imaginably and killed. Well, I would call that persecution. I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel I'm being persecuted because somebody said they didn't like me. Or they took something the way I did something, and they thought, well, I could have been nicer in the way I did it. I go, oh, I'm being persecuted. I'm the only one that takes things that way, I'm sure. It's just so thin-skinned. But that's not persecution. At least not to the depth that Jesus received it. Jesus was persecuted literally unto death. They hated what Jesus said and what he did. They literally looked for ways to embarrass, malign, and to kill him. They sent teachers out into the temple in the front and ask them trick questions. We're trying to get them to trip them up. They did that multiple times. They kept looking for ways to trap him, to publicly embarrass him. And they also looked to find a way that they could kill him. Okay, that's conflict. I would say that's in conflict with, somebody's in conflict with Jesus there, wouldn't you? Okay. This is what was going on. They hated His very name, the Son of Man. That Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, Jesus. Right now, look at the world today. Nothing is going to get the world's back up quicker, get a faster response than you say, in Jesus' name. I don't pray at the city council meetings. Do you want to know why I don't pray at the city council meetings? Because they asked me to go, not in my role as police chaplain, but they asked me to go as my role as pastor of a Christian church here in the community to ask God's blessing upon that meeting. But yet, they will not allow me to pray in Jesus' name. So I don't go. And when they ask me, I say, you've restricted what I can say. I'm in conflict with them. I can't preach. I can't go. I can't pray there in that role. When I throw on the mantle of a representative of Jesus and I can't pray in Jesus' name, that's conflict. And that's where we're at. Look what happened to our legislature this last week. This is conflict, people. Jesus' very name. They don't know God, but they think that they do. Okay? They think they know what good is. You know, we call it Minnesota nice here. You know, in the name of being nice to people, I'm not going to tell them what they're doing is wrong. Jesus tells the disciples that there are people who are going to put him out of the synagogue, take him out of the places of religious teaching and leadership and governance. Going to put him out. And they're going to not just put him out, but some are going to be killed because of it. And they're going to think that they're doing a good thing for God in that. They're going to think that they're doing good, that they're serving God. But their idea of who God is entirely wrong. They don't know Him. If you think Buddha is God, you don't know God. If you think Allah is God, you don't know God. If you think Confucius is God, you don't know God. If you think yourself is God, you don't know God. You don't know God the Creator. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you give Him any other identity. And they don't. But they think they do. They're serving Satan, thinking they're serving God. So, this is what Jesus told us was going to happen. Do we have that happening in our world today? Look around. This is exactly what's happening. Okay? And the interesting thing is, though, Jesus tells us that we really should expect this conflict. As a matter of fact, He tells us in such a manner that we should really understand that if we're not in the midst of conflict, we're not truly testifying to who Jesus is. Think on that one. If your life has no point of conflict with the world, you are not testifying to Jesus. And I will dare say that if you're not testifying to Jesus, you best double check your salvation. It's not about feel good. It's about doing what, not what the world teaches is right, but what God teaches is right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And it's my job in love to tell someone it's wrong. Now, does that mean I need to get mean? Did Jesus get mean? Well, there were a couple times when he turned over some tables. So it seems to be there's an appropriate time and place sometimes to exert that type of thing. But he never, never wantonly attacked anybody. Never belittled anybody. He pointed out the errors of what they were doing and showed them the way to do it right. What you're doing is wrong, but here's what's right. And then provided the means to do so. That's the example Jesus gives us. So if we're not in conflict with the world, then we're in trouble. Because then we're not really testifying. Now, Jesus warned us. He warned us that this was all going to happen. He warned us to expect to be hated. Who here likes to be hated? Yeah. That's how I think of it. I love it. I love to be loved. But what this passage here is telling me that if all I ever get from anybody and everybody is, good job, Bruce, you're doing it right, you're perfect, you know, if I don't have any pushback from the world, then I'm not doing it right. But I'm being warned that this is what I'm to be expected. To expect to be hated. Why? So I won't go astray. Okay, if I find that I'm not having any conflict, I've left the path. Sometimes it's easy to follow a path that leads away from it. I don't like conflict, people. It's not my thing. I'm not looking for a fight. I'm not one of those kids that grew up getting in fights all of the time. Did I end up getting in a couple fights? Yeah, I did. A couple. I mean, I had sisters. Did we fight? Yeah. But did I go looking for ways? Well, okay, sometimes I did. We must confess. But really, really, I don't like to confront people and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. I don't like it. And sometimes it's real easy to follow on the path where you fall away from that conflict. But Jesus warned us so that we wouldn't take the easy path. The easy path isn't the one that we're supposed to take. But here we're supposed to take the challenging one. He wants us to remember, we have been warned. Remember, this is what you're getting into. Go in with your eyes open. Be ready. It's cold outside. It's going to rain. Take your umbrella. Take your galoshes. Yeah. Go. Come back in. I got all wet. What's the problem? I'm cold. Hello, it was raining. It was cold. I told you it was gonna. And you didn't take your umbrella with you. You didn't take a warm coat or a raincoat. And then you got wet and now you're going, getting all upset. People, Jesus is telling us we're going to be in conflict. Be ready for it. You know, we have the prayer of putting on the armor of God in the Bible for a reason. We're told to put on that armor of God, not because it's a sometimes deal that we're in warfare. But it's a regular, everyday thing. Be ready for it. Be prepared. We've been warned. Now, he didn't tell them this at first. Why? Well, he was with them. Ever been the little kid with somebody who was big and tough with a bunch of, when there were some other people around who they just weren't, somebody who wasn't, they just weren't afraid, or they could deal with anything that came their way. Mm-hmm. And go through an area and they say, just stick with me, we're fine. I've been that as a child, going through with my dad in some areas of town, went some places, just stay here, we're good. I don't need to worry about it. Just stay with me. But the thing is, now we're no longer with Jesus. He's with us through the Holy Spirit. So we've been warned. Because when he was there, the conflict was going to go for him. Because he was the danger point. He was what they were upset about. Used to be that, but he wasn't worried about it because he could deal with it. And he did. Jesus dealt with every conflict that came at him. An entirely different way than the world did. The world hated, Jesus loved. Jesus' response was love. There is scripture after scripture where God tells us clearly that to believe him is to battle against the world. Believe God. Okay? God is the God of truth. Trust him. Believe him in this. Church, we are in conflict with the world. We're not to be in agreement with the world. Be ready for it. Don't be surprised when it happens. We shouldn't ought to be surprised at what's happening in our legislature. We shouldn't ought to be surprised what's happening around the world. Jesus doesn't tell us things are going to get better and better and better. He says they're going to get worse and worse and worse. But he does tell us that he'll be there with us and provide us a way to deal with it. We need to respond as our Lord and Savior did, and as he does to the hate and persecution. How does Jesus respond? He responds with love. He responds to hate. He returns hate for love. The world hated him so much that he went to the cross out of love for us. So that the world might be overcome. That's why Jesus came. And he has overcome the world. And he has done it through love. And people, this is the weapon that we have to use in response to the hate of the world against us, is that same love of Christ. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. Don't backpedal one bit from it. The gospel message is not to be soft-selled. It is not to be, minimized. You have to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Obey. And love him. Testify about him in your lives. This is what God's plan is for the church. This is what we are to do, church. We are to respond to this hate that the world has for God, for us, with we are to respond with love. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of those who are caught up in the world. You see, the Lord took us out of the world. So we're no longer of it. But until he takes us home to be with him, we're still here. And we're in the midst of this conflict. So be ready for it. You've been warned. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, you do warn us. You do tell us this is what we're in for. Might we be ready for it. Might we be prepared. Might we put on the armor before we go into battle. Might we take that raincoat when we think it's going to rain. Lord, you have won. But yet the struggle continues. Help us to be faithful in that portion that we need to be faithful in, and returning back love for the hate. Lord, this isn't easy. This is one of your hard lessons. But help us to embrace it, that we might do it well. In Jesus' name, amen.